Chapter 7, in which Frodo is not alone. It is an unwritten rule of the world that things never happen as fast as you would like them to. The corollary to that rule, of course, is that the things you wish to put off come upon you faster than you can handle them, and often in greater numbers. It was 6 months after they moved to Bannhirn before the sons of Durin opened their mine. The first month was springtime rain and mud on the mountain, and living in tents and cooking over open fires. Frodo adored it, of course. When the weather grew kinder, the mountain was filled with construction, building solid new homes and tearing down fences. Frodo spent the first half of the summer running wild through the trees, splashing in the burn and coming home covered in dirt and scratches he hadn't even noticed. Bilbo was pleased to see him so active and happy, but he worried. So much time spent in solitude wasn't good, particularly not for a little boy as thoughtful as Frodo. He and Thorin talked about it at night, sitting out in the grass of a warm summer night and watching the stars, so much brighter here than Bilbo had ever known them before. Bilbo collapsed back into the sweet-smelling heather with a sigh.
"How did you do it?"
he asked tiredly.
"Raising both of them. Frodo's just one, and a good lad at that."
Thorin chuckled, deep and melodious, and looked up at the sky.
"I don't know how much credit I can take for them,"
he said, deep amusement coloring his voice.
"We all did what we could, and half the time they are raising one another."
"That's part of it," Bilbo said slowly. "Frodo needs friends his own age, I think. He's friendly enough with his schoolmates in Tindrum, but away up here..." He shakes his head. Thorin was silent for a few minutes.
"When I was growing up, I never knew what it was to be alone. Dwalin was always with me, and Dis and Frarin tagged along from the time they could walk. All of us who were old enough. This was an amazing place to grow up together. But alone..."
He shrugged.
"What can we do?"
"I've been thinking about that," Bilbo said, propping himself up on his elbows. "My old neighbor in Linlithgow, old Mrs. Gamgee. Her son was something of a groundskeeper, and always looking for work. His son was great friends with Frodo in school. Could we do with a bit of help?"
"Actually, we might,"
Thorin said, frowning in thought.
"Between setting up a functional living space here and trying to get the mine ready to open, we could do with someone with a good eye and a sense of the land. Would he be willing to relocate his family?"
"I'll find out," Bilbo promised, and sat up quickly, hauling Thorin backward by a shoulder until he was lying in the heather. Bilbo turned and lay down as well, resting his head on Thorin's chest as they both stared up into the night.
"Now be still. I need neck support."
The laughter rumbling deep in Thorin's chest made Bilbo grin stupidly up into the dark. Hamfast Gamgee did indeed want the job, and within a week, he and his wife and young son had come to live at Bannhirn. He began proving his value at once, helping them to redesign the whole layout of the little village that was taking shape near Cnonish. Thorin had decided they would not build again in the little glen where their houses had once stood. They were still there, burnt remnants of their past, and he would not have them disturbed. The new settlement was only a short distance from what would become the mouth of the mines, and a little burn wandered nearby, a perfect place for young lads to play. Bilbo shouldn't have been surprised that some of the sons of Durin were not immediately keen on their new neighbors. They had had only each other for so very long.
"What do we need outsiders for?"
Dory complained one evening, staring peevishly at the lights of the Gamgee's little house.
"Do you think we can run a mine alone?"
Thorin asked scathingly, throwing a log on the crackling fire.
"We will need a great many outsiders before long. You'd best get used to the idea."
"But what about Frodo?"
Ori asked, wrinkling his nose at the scarf he was knitting. Half of it had trailed away into the mud as he sat singing with the rest, and he sighed sadly.
"It's sure to lead to trouble. Who knows what this Sam will teach him?
They were, as a group, possessive to a fault. Bilbo had discovered this very early on coming to live with them, and it was mostly amusing. But they grew possessive of little Frodo very quickly, sometimes unhappy even about sending him to school in the mornings, and he wondered whether having had Feely and Keely all to themselves for all those years had warped their idea of normality. He wanted to tell them it was absurd to be jealous of an 8-year-old boy stealing their lad's affections. In the end, it was Sam himself who solved the problem. He was a solid, straightforward lad, loyal to Frodo above all else, but as prone to flights of fancy as his friend. They took to the woods every day, splashing in the burn and playing at being Robin Hood and Little John, or King Arthur and his brave knight, or, as Bilbo discovered to his own mortification, at being Bilbo and Thorin, fighting off armies. They stayed out until they were dragged back, grubby and browned by the sun, feet bare and covered in mud. One day, as summer was slowly dying, they came back early. Frodo's face was pale, and he clung silently to Sam's arm. Sam was flushed and wide-eyed, talking a million miles an hour, and it took nearly forever to get the story out of the lads. They had happened upon an adder, out in the woods, while Sam was up in a tree. Frodo had wandered into the sunny spot where it was lying, and had frozen up, staring at the snake as it hissed a deadly warning, preparing to strike. As Frodo stuttered out the story, it was Sam who had distracted the snake with a quickly thrown stick, then hauled Frodo up into a tree before it could reach his bare, defenseless feet. Sam had brought him home while Frodo was still scared half-witless, and talked to him the whole time, keeping up his cheerful chatter until they reached the safety of the family. Bilbo hugged Sam gently and thanked him, amused when the little boy flushed bright red.
"I wasn't going to leave him," Sam said stoutly, though his ears were burning crimson. "And anyway, all's well as ends better, as my dad says."
Bilbo told the story to the whole family that night. The next day, young Sam Gamgee found himself in possession of a half-muddied knitted scarf, several plates of cookies, and a beautifully hand-carved wooden toy. That night he sat next to Frodo around the blazing fire, the two of them whispering and giggling under the adult conversation, until he was startled into falling backwards as Dwalin dropped a leather jacket on his head, an exact replica of Frodo's treasured coat. It wasn't long after that before the Brandybucks moved to the mountain when young Merry's father decided to invest in the mine, and Pippin and his family joined them, bringing three young girls to join the growing collection of lads. When Tolman Cotton took a job as a mine supervisor, bringing his 5 children to live on the mountain, Bilbo elbowed Thorin gently. "Now Frodo won't know how to grow up alone, either," he murmured. Thorin looked at his mountain, eyes glowing with a wild, possessive pride.
"Now it is beginning to feel like our home."